Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's podcast episode. I have a very special guest on the show today, Jessica Abreu. Jessica is a professional makeup artist, and she loves helping women look and feel their best. She believes that the start comes from within, and she loves empowering women to look at themselves and see the beauty and power before them. She loves working with women, teaching makeup classes, creating custom foundations, and doing consults to determine how to best help each woman feel like their most gorgeous self. Now, in this episode, we dive into what makeup is best for our skin. Should we be choosing organic or natural makeup when we're looking at our makeups? Should we always be taking our makeup off our face? And she gives us some insider tips from a professional makeup artist of how to best apply your makeup. And for me, I am not the best at applying my makeup. I have one look that I kind of tend to stick with. So any tips and tricks from a professional makeup artist was definitely welcomed by me. So let's listen in and see what Jessica has to share with us. Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Today, I've got Jessica Abreu on the show. So thank you so much for coming on, Jessica. It's so great to have you on today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and maybe explain, you know, a little bit about you and what you do?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I am Jessica Abreu, and I am in Massachusetts. I have been a makeup artist for the past 5 years. Prior to that, I was a middle school science teacher. I'm also a stay-at-home mom to 3 children. They are 16, 6, and 3. And I'm a wife too, but that's like, whatever. So 13 years ago, I found out that I have celiac disease, and that really got me looking at what I was eating and also putting onto my body, which included skincare and makeup. And so I've really been on this journey to help people feel good and look good and to know what is in their makeup and how to help them, you know, find products that are safe for them to use, especially in the celiac community, because we get left out of a lot of things.
Yeah, well, when I was looking at your website and that, and I saw that you had like some blog posts and stuff on gluten-free makeup, I will say I honestly didn't know that was a thing. Like, I hadn't really heard of that before. So I think that's amazing that you're kind of bringing that to light.
Yeah, I'm trying to. And I really love helping women just feel confident about the way that they look. So whether that's me teaching them how to apply their own makeup or to do makeup for a photo shoot or to make them a foundation because they can't find one in the store that matches them. Like, everything I do is just really to empower them and to boost their confidence so that they can go into the world looking and feeling like their best self.
Yeah. And I think that's amazing because, you know, that's probably one of the main reasons why a lot of us put makeup on is to, you know what I mean? Sort of give yourself that bit of a boost, and maybe you might have some skin issues or you might not feel very confident. I know, like, when I put makeup on, it's generally when I'm going out, and it kind of does, you know, lift you up to that next level. It changes the way you feel. So I love your mission behind that for sure. Now, I have to ask, because we are here at Mind Movement Health, we're obviously all about being healthy and, you know, finding either natural or organic or those types of products. Can you share with listeners what they should be looking for when they are looking for makeup? Because, you know, it's very hard sometimes. A product may say it's natural, or it may say it's organic or chemical free. So what sort of labels should we be looking for on our makeup if we're thinking that we do want to go sort of a more natural approach?
So the first thing that you probably want to do is to avoid drugstores. Most of the products that are found there and that are, I'm going to call them the quality or like low cost makeup. Most of the reasons why that they are able to do that is because they're not putting the best ingredients into their products. Another way to really make sure that you're, if you look on the back of a makeup packet, any type, it's going to have the ingredients listed. That's not all the ingredients that go into a product. If you really want to know what is in it, you need to go to the manufacturer's website, and there they'll have a detailed list of exactly what is actually in there. Many places are also requiring them to list the preservatives that they use to make the makeup last. The longer that makeup can last, the more stuff that they have put into it. So that's something to look for. Another thing is just being able to actually pronounce the names of things. Anything that says PEG and then a bunch of numbers after it, those are initials for different chemicals that they're putting into it. Not all of them are going to cause cancer. Not all of them are going to like make you break out or anything like that. It's just how much of it are you willing to put onto your skin and what you want your makeup to do for you. So if you want your makeup to last all day and you want your makeup to hide some things on your face, there are certain ingredients that, while it might be a chemical or not organic, it's okay for you to put onto your skin. It's not going to do you any harm. Organic makeup, it's almost not even possible, because for something to be an organic makeup product, every single ingredient that was going into it would have to be organic itself, which means it would have to have come from a manufacturer, from a farmer, or from somebody who is going through the process of making sure that they're meeting the standards of being organic. So there's a lot of ingredients that go into makeup. So to find one that is organic is really, really hard. And it might say that it's an organic product, meaning that the person who's making it doesn't know for a fact that there's not anything going into it that's not organic. Does that make sense? So natural, clean, just it's just going to do some research. Like if you just get a product and you type in a few of the ingredients, like you'll know soon enough if it's something terrible for you. Most of the time it's not, unless you're buying really inexpensive makeup.
Yes, I've actually got some organic makeup. And it's interesting that you kind of bring that up, because it does say on it that it's 94% organic, because obviously they can't source everything organic. And I'm not sure what the ranges are with makeup, but obviously if it is, I don't know, I'm just saying this, but if it's 90% organic, it must be able to get the tick to say that it's an organic product. So there obviously must be a percentage that doesn't have to be 100% for it to get the tick that it is organic. So I think it's just an interesting thing, you know, like everything, a lot of the things you were saying is very similar to food. So food can have up to 3% of ingredients that they don't list. So that might be the smaller amounts of the chemicals that they're added in. Same thing, you have to go to the manufacturer's website to actually find out that information. So it's interesting, there's probably very similar or some similar regulations between food and makeup that kind of get crossed over. So thanks for sharing that, because I do think it's one of those things you do, you turn over and you look at the back of the pack and you're like, I can't even pronounce half these words. So, and I know myself, I've Googled some things thinking this must be a bad thing. And when you Google it, it actually says it's fine to use. So.
And some products that, some things that go into makeup are fine for like your cheeks and your like your foundation, but it's not safe for you to have on like your eyes or your lips. So there's so many different rules that it'll, if you really are trying to make yourself like all natural and all organic, there's almost nothing. So it's, it's everything in moderation. Just it'll be okay.
Yeah. And I did swap over, going back to how long your makeup lasts, I swapped over to a like a natural mascara or whatever. And if you go, if there's any bit of water or, do you know what I mean? Like it's just all over your face. It does not last. It's fine for the day if you're just, you know, doing your everyday thing. But yeah, it doesn't wear the same as say a makeup or a mascara that has chemicals in it. So I think that's a good point to bring up as well.
Yeah. It's again, everything in moderation. Like you might, you might go somewhere where you need your mascara to actually stick onto your face all day long. Like when I'm doing makeup for wedding clients or for photo shoots, I don't want it to run. So I'm going to use something that, while is safe for them, is going to have a chemical in it. So if they needed something that was completely organic, I just let them know that, like, this isn't organic, but it's not going to do you any harm. And they can decide if they want it or not. Most of the times they do, because they want to look pretty in their pictures. You know, you go with what makes you comfortable. There is, you know, there's something for everybody.
And do you have any sort of go-to brands that you recommend to people that if they are sort of looking for either that natural or, you know, as close to organic that you can get sort of type of makeup?
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of the stuff that I use is also gluten-free, which is more what I focus on. And with it being gluten-free, a lot of times it is more natural and has less chemicals in it. I use Motives, I use Tarte, I use Urban Decay. Within those, there are some of the products that I don't use. Like I won't use a Tarte lipstick just because of some of the things that I personally don't want to put on my lips, but other stuff is perfectly fine to you. Like it's... but those are my go-to products.
Yeah. And is there a few sort of, you know, people are sort of thinking, you know, what are the sort of red flags if they look at a product? What are the sort of main, I guess, chemicals and things that they should avoiding, such as say parabens, you know, a big sort of classification? Is there some sort of bigger things that people can kind of look for if they are wanting to avoid that?
So any type of fragrance, you want to stay away from fragrances. Parabens, there's like a whole class of them. They go from like harmful to like not at all. So it's really hard to say that something that has parabens in it is completely terrible. I do personally stay away from them, but there are some that are okay, which is, always weird. Anything that has petroleum, that's a lot of times ends up being in your lipsticks, because it does make it like that silky smooth feeling. So a lot of times that will pop up in there. I'm trying to run, formaldehydes, PEGs, oxybenzone. I'm sorry. I'm seeing the spelling in my head and I'm like, well, how do I pronounce it? Those are some of the top ones that you're going to want to stay away from.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Petroleum is a big thing that I steer clear of in foods, because it's surprising how many foods it pops up into. And I don't think people are aware how much it does pop up within products, whether or not it's skincare or in foods.
Yeah. I'm like, why are they putting this in a food? It's not meant to be consumed.
No, that's it. It doesn't make any sense at all. It shouldn't be in food. So why should it be in any product that we're going to be putting on our skin? Because it's going to be absorbed into our skin too. So
what I usually do is I have up on my computer, I'm almost like trying to find it right now, but because I'm on Zoom, I can't do anything. If you Google the worst products in makeup, there is a list that has like every single chemical that like you wouldn't want in your makeup. So it's a good, like I pop it up on my phone and stuff while you're either searching online or when you're in a store, because the ones that are listed on that list, like there's 15 of them that are like the worst ones. If it's in a product, it'll be on the label. It's not one of the ones that they even attempt to try to hide, because if it's in it, it's like too much of a percentage of the makeup to not be listed.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great tip. And I know here in Australia, there is a app called Chemical Maze, and you can go on there and check out. It's got a food section and a makeup section, so that you can go in and type in 321 or whatever the number is, or the name, and it'll come up and tell you whether or not it's safe to use and what side effects it can produce, whether or not it's respiratory or allergy or all those types of things. So for listeners in Australia, I know that's a great app. So there probably are a few apps around the world that you can probably check out too.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody is sort of, you know, maybe they're like me and they don't ever feel like they are very good at their makeup, they might feel like they have, you know, they can do one look. They know how to put the stuff on, do one look, but not really know how to change it. What can you sort of share with listeners? Where should they start? As in, what should we be putting on first and maybe concentrating on when we're doing our makeup?
When you're putting your makeup on, there's a couple of different things that you can concentrate on. I like to concentrate on the eyes because that is what everybody sees and what everybody is like drawn to you because of. And when you're speaking to someone, you know, if someone's trying to look you in the eyes and like, that's where you really see the true person. So you want to start with an eye base, which is basically like a primer for your eyelids. As you age, your eyelids actually change color and they don't change color the same. So like one eyelid could actually be a little bit darker than the other. And then when you put your makeup on, like your eyeshadow, it's going to look different on each eye. So putting on an eye base, which is basically like a primer, you make both lids the same color and then your makeup will not cake and crease during the day and you'll be able to use less eyeshadow. So that's one thing. And then when you're doing your foundation and stuff, it's really important that you are taking care of your skin because no matter what kind of makeup you use, no matter what products you put on your face to do your makeup, if your skin is a disaster, I mean, then you're just like trying to cover things up. And that's not what you want to do. You really want to get to the root cause of like what's going on. So this way it can look better. Most of the time it's your diet. And that can be pretty simple to fix once we figure out what is going on. And mascara is your best friend. If you don't want to have to wear fake lashes, well, I mean, like no one has to wear fake lashes, but lashes and eyebrows, I don't even know, like eyebrows, when did that become a thing?
It's still a very big thing here. And so are lashes as well.
It's so big. So, I personally have never overplucked my eyebrows, even though I was born in the 80s. So I still have a decent eyebrow. So I just color it in with powder. Powder is much more forgiving than a pencil. So it's for, especially for a beginner, it's super easy to do. And you can get palettes that have like all different shades of brown. So you can use these palettes for contouring. You can use them for eyeshadow. You can use them for your eyebrows. And it's great because then it's one product. So like you don't have tons of things in your cabinet or on your beauty counter or wherever you are getting ready. And you can, because it's so many different shades, you can do everything that you need and want to do.
I mean, that's a really great tip even to know. Because, do you know what I mean? I'm one of those people that I prefer efficiency and to make it simple. So if there's one palette that I could use to do my eyebrows, my eyes and that, then yeah, then that's a definitely a fantastic tip to know.
Right. And then when you, if you like, if we're ever allowed to go on vacation again, it's
yeah, easy. Don't worry. So we're in lockdown here right now that while I'm filming this. So I definitely relate to never feeling like I can go on holiday again.
Oh my goodness. Oh yes. So, I mean, I love a palette that you can just take with you and it's everything in one. And another thing that I think is really important for like when you're doing your makeup is to do your eyes first. I know on like YouTube and stuff, like they'll do all of their face stuff, but listen, as a mom, as a busy woman, you need to do your eyes first, because if any of that shadow powder falls down onto your cheekbones or under your eyes and you need to get it off and you've already done any concealer or any foundation or anything on your cheeks, you have to do that all over again because you got to get that powder off. Start with the eyes. Make your eyes look fantastic. Then do the rest of your face because one, it takes longer to do your eyes. So if you're running out of time, like you can slap on a little bit of foundation and like run out the door. But you need to have those eyes looking like they take just a little bit more time. And like, I don't know, I don't have time to do things over again. So like it needs to be one and done.
Well, that is a really great tip. And I was going to ask you order wise. And it's funny you say that because I was just putting on some mascara this morning after I already done my concealer and a bit of blush and that. And of course I get mascara in underneath my eye. So then I have to wipe that all off, redo my bit of concealer. So yeah, so I just experienced that this morning. So that is a great tip. But I would always do my eyes first. I mean, last, sorry. I would do everything else and then do my eyes last. So I'm just going to have to start to flip it around the other way.
Just flip it. Trust me, it's going to make things go so much faster. And like, if you want to do your mascara absolutely last, like I usually do the mascara last because I use a setting spray. And if you spray your face after you have your mascara on, it can make it run unless it's completely dry already. But yeah, eyes first.
Yeah, that's a great tip to share with everybody. Now, when it comes to taking off our makeup, what's the best way to do it? Should we be using like a makeup remover and then washing our face? What are the things we really should be doing to remove it properly?
Yes. So the first thing you want to do is use a makeup remover, like a wipe or even if you have a bottle like of makeup remover and you spray it onto like a soft cotton, remove it. Remove as much of your makeup first. And then I don't suggest washing your face with soap and water at night. Water is very drying and the pH of the water can actually do crazy stuff to your skin. Like if you've ever been on, you guys call it holiday. That's so cute. I love it. somewhere. And you know, like the water even makes your skin feel like sticky or just like different. Every water has a different pH depending on how, wherever you are is filtering it and things like that. So you don't want to put extra water on your face. If you wash your face once in the morning with your soap and water, that's fine. But at night, I always suggest using a micellar cleanser. So this is a waterless cleanser. It has these little tiny, I don't even know what you want to call it. You can't even see it, but it's basically like these little balls and it gets into all of your pores and it pulls out all of the dirt, all of the makeup, all of the pollen, all the pollution, anything. Like I use it even when I haven't worn makeup all day long to clean my face at the end of the day. If you've been outside and you put on sunscreen, if you've used bug spray, even if you just walked outside just to go to the store, maybe you had a mask on, you want to clean everything, all that stuff off your face. So you just use like a cotton, either a cotton ball, a cotton pad, or you can get organic like cotton rounds. You put a little bit on it and you just clean your whole face. Then I use a toner, either a spray or a pad. And then you want to moisturize your face before you go to bed too. And I know that a lot of people will say that they don't want to put moisturizer on their face at night. Their skin is oily. They don't want to break out. The worst thing you can do for oily skin is to not moisturize it. Your skin is begging for moisture when you have oily skin. It needs it. You might need like a matte moisturizer or something that like a serum first to help close your pores. But you need to put on moisturizer before you go to bed so that your skin is not working overtime to prevent it from getting dry.
Yeah. I use a serum before I go to bed and I use a moisturizer and an eye cream as well. That's it because I'm hitting that age where I'm getting that little bit older. But you bring up a really great point of people thinking that if their skin is oily, they don't want to put any more sort of oil into it. But, you know, I agree, coming from the nutrition side, as you were sort of saying before, a lot of skin issues that pop up can be diet related. So whether or not it's acne or oily skin or those types of things. So I would recommend from a nutritionist point of view is looking back at your diet and changing a lot of that stuff, mm-hmm. not thinking that you need to eliminate the oil from the skincare products.
Yeah, no, like I can't even tell you how many people, they're like, oh, my skin breaks out, so I'm not using any moisturizer or anything. And I'm like, oh, well, you're just going to make it worse because your skin needs moisture. It needs to be taken care of and nourished. And so you definitely don't want to skip that step, no matter what type of skin that you have. And that's one of the things that I work with a lot of women on, is how best to take care of your skin. Because I will see people post questions to, like, just general groups of women saying, oh, you know, I have acne and what should I do about it? And people be like, oh, this works for me. Or that. And if one more person says to use like a Aveeno moisturizer or Cetaphil, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm like, hi, just put cancer on your face. It's fine. It's fine. It's awful.
That's it. And it is going back to diet and lifestyle, yes. And, you know, making sure that you are hydrating throughout the day and all those types of things, because our skin, it's going to show up through our skin. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's very clear that it will come through that way. And it's when we're now recording this in August, but this will be coming out in September. And the week before this episode is all about food for your skin. So it's kind of a good sort of lead into this episode. It'll tie in perfectly because people will sort of hear that one first and mm-hmm. then this will just reinforce it. So it's great that it's kind of come up today. I do want to bring up too the differences in water. It's funny you say that because sometimes you'll go on holiday, or we say holiday, mm-hmm. And they might have, say, bore water, like you're sort of saying, whether or not it comes from up from out of the ground, or they don't have, you know, filtered water. And usually for me, I'll always feel it on my hair when you go to wash your hair, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't feel the same. But it's interesting that you brought it up about our skin and stuff too, because it does feel different on the skin, but I hadn't thought before about not using it. I just thought, well, it's the water I've got, so I've kind of got to use it. Mm-hmm. But it was really nice that you shared that, because I will definitely look to not use that water and not wash my face in the evening.
Yeah, like when I go on vacation with my family, I do not wash my face with soap and water, unless like I need to, if we're gone for a while and I feel like I need to exfoliate, then I will. The rest of the time I just use the micellar cleanser because it's better for my skin, and I won't break out because I'm using bad water. And so what happens is that it destroys or ruins the pH of balance on your skin. And then when you go to use your serums or your moisturizers and stuff, it's not doing anything because it can't get through to your skin because the pH is too high. So then you're putting on products that aren't doing anything, and you're throwing your money away, and your skin looks terrible. So don't do it.
Yeah. Bottom line, don't wash your face. Okay. So going back to everyday makeup, do you recommend to people that they can wear makeup every day? Is there a thing, do you know what I mean? Some people will put a full face of makeup on every day to go to the office, or is there a thing as too much, and should we be giving our skin a break essentially?
I mean, you don't need to give your skin a break as long as you're not wearing makeup that is full of the chemicals and stuff that's, you want to make sure that your skin is still able to breathe. And you'll notice when your skin might have had too much. It'll start to feel a little itchy. Your eyes really will let you know. Like, they'll have either like a little not a burning, but like they'll be like a little tingling there that you're like, that's not what I liked. But really, as long as you're cleaning your face at night properly, and as long as in the morning too, that you're also taking care of your skin and making sure that you're using your serums and your moisturizers and you have a clean face before you put your makeup on, wear your makeup every day if that makes you happy. And then if you want to take a break, sure. I mean, I wear makeup pretty much, I'll go weeks wearing it every single day and my skin won't break out because I'm making sure I take it off at night. If I don't, then that's a little bit of a problem. Also, if you are someone listening to this who does not take their makeup off at night and you're like, oh, my skin is fine, I don't break out, it's totally okay. It is not. You age your skin every single night that you keep your makeup on because your skin can't breathe. And at night, that's when all the repairing and all of the cell rejuvenation and everything is happening, because while you're sleeping, your body is able to do that. So if you have makeup on at night, you're preventing your skin from being able to do the natural processes that it needs to do. And you are essentially aging yourself.
Well, I'm really glad I take my makeup off every time.
just letting you know.
I'm not one of those people. I am very much like, I'm very conscious of taking off and obviously allowing my skin to breathe. But you kind of bring up a very good point. I know a few times I've had, say, photo shoots done in the past. And the first couple of times I had it done, I had a full face of makeup done, you know, just over the, you know, with a makeup professional at the shopping center, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like you have a mask on. That's the best way that I can explain it. It is that it does feel so thick that it's, you know, mask-like, especially by the end of the day. And then I changed it. I found someone that uses more natural and more organic products. Mm-hmm. And the feeling was very different. I didn't have that feeling at the end of the day where it felt thick and sort of caked on. So I hadn't actually kind of thought about that previously, but yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, I only wear full face makeup sort of very occasionally, but I have noticed a difference since swapping over to more natural products.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Once you switch over, you'll really be able to see the difference. That, I mean, makeup and skincare is one of those things where a lot of times you're getting what you pay for. If you go to the store and buy a $5 lipstick or foundation, you're going to get a $5, which is fine for some. But if you want to make sure that you're not aging your skin, that you're taking care of the only face that you have, you need products that are a little bit more expensive. And they are that way because the people who have made it are making sure that better ingredients are going in. Now, there are some that, like, you're buying the name, so be careful for that. But a lot of the times it's better quality ingredients are going into what you're buying.
Yeah, for sure. And I know there are, it's like anything, depending on what range you get, you can get, there are some sort of cheaper organic ranges of skincare, and then there are much more expensive ones. I know myself, I've tried like Trilogy. That's a big one here in Australia, an organic skincare one. Mm-hmm. And I had obviously one of the natural ingredients, which I haven't worked out what it is yet, I had an allergy to, and I came up with all bumps mm-hmm. all over my skin. So I can't use, even though they were quite expensive, I can't actually use that brand because I have an allergy in it. But I found one that is cheaper. So Sukin and Alchemy and stuff is a bigger one here too. They're on sort of the cheaper end compared to Trilogy, and I can use that one and not break out. So I think experimenting too, and finding one that suits your skin is important.
And if you are trying stuff that's new and you don't want to put it on your face to see if you have a reaction, right on your like wrist on the inside of your arm, that area of your skin is very sensitive. So if you're going to have a reaction, it'll happen there as well. So this way you don't have to have anything on your face.
Well, a good thing is there's a website here called Nourish Life. And what I do like about them, because they sell all organic and natural skincare, is they actually sell samples now of all their products.
Oh, nice.
So you can just buy a sample, try that before investing, you know, a lot of money into a bigger product. And I've done that a few times since having that issue with Trilogy, because that was a very expensive, you know, mistake essentially mm-hmm. to make. So I think that's a great tip for people to know too, that if you can try a sample size, sometimes that's beneficial too.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Now, when we're talking about blending, because I know when I've had my makeup done, I honestly think, how many times does she need to bring a different brush back, and do you know what I mean? Blend my cheeks and my eyes and all the rest of it. When it comes to brushes and blending, what should we be having in sort of our makeup kit for everyday sort of looks?
Okay, so for your eyes, you essentially should have three brushes. You can do every look that you would need to do for every day with three brushes. An eyeshadow brush, which is a flatter, fatter brush. A blending brush, which is going to be circular and the bristles are going to be not compact. They're going to kind of like be not completely free flowing, but easier to move the things around. And then a detail brush, which is going to be a very small, tiny little brush. The bristles are only about like centimeter or two long and is tiny. Those three brushes for your eyes will give you every look that you need. You can also use the little detail brush for like your eyebrows and it'll be perfect. For your face, I usually recommend a blending sponge for your foundation and your concealer, especially if you're using liquids, because you can dab the sponge onto your face and that really puts the foundation, the concealer into your skin nicely without accentuating your fine lines and wrinkles. If you are using a foundation brush, you want to make sure that you go from top down and not bottom up, because otherwise you're going to accentuate everything that you don't want to see. And then for like the blush and the contouring and any powders that you put on your face, you really only need two brushes, a blush brush and a powder brush. So the powder brush is going to be big, like big, fat, fluffy brush. You can use that for your bronzer. You can use that for your setting powder. And the blush brush is like a smaller version of the powder brush. And that one you're going to be able to use for your contouring. You put the contour powder on just one side and you can highlight your cheekbones. You can, again, use just one side and do a little highlighter. And then you use the top of it for the blush. And I mean, that's really all you need when you're just looking to do your makeup to be able to go out to dinner with the girls or run to Target. You guys have Target?
We have Target. Yep. You can't do that at the minute. It's only click and collect at the minute. But yes.
Back when you're not on lockdown again, when you can run out or like go to the store. Like, I mean, after our first lockdown here, I was like putting on a full face and just running to go get a coffee. Like, hey, look at me. I'm out. I am out.
Yes, well, we're in lockdown 6 now. So I think everybody's just gotten to the point where they're just like a bit over it. So, yeah.
I don't understand why. You guys have like nothing. You have nothing.
There's not much more to be said there, is there?
I don't. I am so sorry.
Now, what is, with you being a makeup artist, what's the one thing that people always ask you about when it comes to their makeup?
Oh, man. The one thing, usually it's like, what is my favorite mascara? What is the lipstick that I'm wearing? How can they make themselves look younger?
That's probably a big one.
Yeah. Like, just maybe look young. Like, your face is the age that you are. There's that. Yeah, it's, and a lot of it is just also knowing how to do the real makeup. Like, they'll look at themselves after I've done it and they're like, how did you do that? And how is that my face? I'm like, it's you. You just a little bit here, a little bit here. Like, you can,
that's it. Well, we can take all your tips today and have a play anyway.
Yeah. I mean, makeup is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be creative. There's no right or wrong way to do your makeup. There's what makes you happy and what makes you feel good. So I usually try to tell people, just try. Get a palette of colors that you like. They can be neutrals with all of like your brown and blacks and gray tones. They can be bold colors. And just have fun with it. Do something that makes you happy and feels good. For doing your eyes, I always say light on the inside and darker on the outside is going to make your eyes look bigger. And other than that, like, have at it. Whatever colors you want, whatever you want to try, it's going to make you feel good. Go for it. And I mean, when you put it on, you're in your own home. If you don't like it, take it off.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's experiment.
Yeah. Cause that's what I do. I get a new palette and I'm like, all right, let's have some fun. What are we going to do today?
So. Yeah. I think that's a really great tip. Cause I know I'm always a little bit scared that I'm like, oh no, what's this going to look like? Let's just stick to what I know because I don't want to, do you know what I mean? Make mm-hmm. a disaster. And then I'm going to have to take it all off and start again. And I've got two littler girls. So I'm like, yeah. I don't have time to redo these things. So
well, you know what? While you're what I know. Yeah. While you're in lockdown. Have at it. Yeah,
go for it.
Let them do it.
Oh, don't worry. My oldest, who's 7, mm-hmm. is, do you know what I mean? Any chance that she's like, she can get into my makeup and try is very, very funny. You know what it's like with kids. They just, the lipstick ends up going halfway over their face and mm-hmm. all the rest of it. But yeah, we might have to do a makeup day while we're in lockdown and have some fun. Yeah.
Why not?
Now, yeah, well, that's it. We don't have much else to do except home for mm-hmm. homeschooling. So we might as well add it in. Now, if you could give listeners one tip to help them improve their makeup or their makeup techniques, just one thing that they could take away today and do straight away, what would it be?
With your eyeshadow, do light on the inside by your nose, dark on the outside, and don't forget your finishing either spray or powder, because that's going to help your makeup stay put during the day. And if you're taking the time to do it, it might as well stay there.
Yeah, that's a good tip, because I know that's something that I often forget to do at the end because I'm like rushing out. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, oh, well, don't worry about that. That you don't have to worry about that. So I will definitely start to add that in and make sure I follow through and do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and this is another one. Your eyebrows are sisters, not twins. So don't drive yourself crazy trying to make your eyebrows look identical. Nobody has identical eyebrows unless they've gone and got them like professionally microbladed so that they are exactly the same. You want them to kind of have the same shape, you know, go up and down. And whether that's a curve or whether that's a sharp angle. So they both should have that. They should be similar. So they should look like sisters, but you don't have to worry about them being identical and driving yourself crazy trying to do that.
That's a great tip, because I often look at my eyebrows and think, you know, one's a little bit higher or sits higher at one point than the other.
Yeah, so. We all have, let's see, this is my good eyebrow. Like it goes up, it has a nice point, it comes down. This one, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, come on. But I mean, they're similar. Like you can't tell, well, we can tell now because I pointed out, but most people don't notice. But yes, we all have one good eyebrow and it's fine.
Yeah. But I like how you phrase that they're sisters, not twins, because you kind of do look at your face and think, do you know what I mean? Everything should be symmetrical and look exactly the same, mm-hmm. but you know, there's differences in our teeth from one side to the other and all the rest of it. So it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing all your expertise with everybody. It's been very knowledgeable for myself, and I'm sure listeners have learned a lot. So where can listeners reach out, connect with you, follow you?
All right. So I have a website. It's actually being revamped right now. So it's limitless-beauty.com. And you can also find me on Instagram. It's my name, Jess Lynn Abreu. So Maybe we can type that somewhere since I know spelling my name is a disaster.
I'll put it in the show notes for everybody so they'll be able to click the link.
And, yeah, they can just click that and see it. Yeah, that'd be perfect because spelling my name is married into it and it's nothing's easy.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much. I hope that you found the information helpful.
Amazing. Thanks, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.